This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Joining with me, I have Colleen Kelly. She's the president of the National Treasury Employees Union, NTEU, and they have been one of the main unions that have been really discussing about federal workforce issues and kind of putting a lot of things on the table to kind of say, listen, we want to represent the right issues for federal employees and make sure that federal employees have what they need to do their job and have what they need to be successful. But we also want to make sure that federal employees or federal people are hired the right kind of way in order to do their job. Is that right, Colleen?
It is. You have a 72-year history, Derek, of being the voice of federal employees in the workplace.
Outstanding. Well, welcome to Fed Access. What does the organization do? Who do you represent? If somebody is a federal employee, how do they get to become a part of your organization if they can?
Well, NTEU was first organized in 1938, and we have, as I said, a 72-year history of representing federal employees. We today represent over 150,000 federal employees in 31 agencies across government. That includes treasury agencies such as the IRS and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency and Financial Management Services. But we also represent employees in the Department of Homeland Security, at Customs and Border Protection, including TSA. We represent Health and Human Services employees. We represent employees in financial regulatory agencies such as the Securities and Exchange Commission and the FDIC. So we represent many, many employees doing very, very important work across 31 federal agencies.
And so really, if you're part of that agency and you have to be a full-time Fed, so to say, you can't be a contractor or maybe even part-time, you got to be a full-time federal employee with one of these agencies, but you can join if that's the case.
Actually, you can not be a contractors are not eligible to join, but part-time employees absolutely are, seasonal employees. Anyone who is a career federal employee, okay, hired under any of those authorities and is a frontline bargaining unit employee is what the technical designation is. So, for example, supervisors and executives in the agencies are not eligible to be represented by NTEU. I bet some of them would like to be, but they're not eligible.
So, but if you're not necessarily a supervisor, but you're kind of maybe below that level, so anybody basically in those areas, you may be a manager, but not necessarily be a SES, you can still be part of NTEU.
Not if you're a supervisor of other employees.
Okay.
The statute's pretty clear, but there are if they contact NTEU, we would be glad to hear from employees who are interested in joining us, and we would surely help them to ensure they have the appropriate designation to be a part of our union.
And when they join and when you're representing them, the benefits that they get out of this is that you guys really lobby for any kind of issues. I know you've been on the forefront of the TSA issues, and we won't get into that maybe till later if we have time. But you've been on the forefront of a lot of different issues for a lot of these employees.
We have, Derek, and we use every tool that we have available to us as a union. We work very closely with those elected on Capitol Hill, those who make the decisions every day about federal employees' issues, such as their pay, their retirement, their benefits, their collective bargaining rights, all of those things. So we're working every day up on Capitol Hill with those who make those decisions. We are very successful and active at bargaining tables to negotiate agreements across all of our agencies. We communicate and see that as a priority issue for us with those who we represent, as well as with the agencies where our members work. We are very active and aggressive in the courts when it's necessary to file a lawsuit, because we cannot solve the problem any other way for federal employees than it is NTEU who is there on the steps of the courts to file those lawsuits. We also have a chapter structure that provides local chapters across the country so that federal employees have someone right there in their workplace on the ground. We have a field operations structure in our union that has staff across the country to help these chapters. So We are multifaceted, and we use every one of those avenues possible, and our goal is to solve problems at the lowest possible level for those who we represent.
And you know, I'm just looking at some things. I mean, for those in federal employees who may have problems with whether it be fair evaluation and promotion, whether it be training, equal opportunity, or alternative work schedules, telecommuting, whatever, things like that, then you're kind of the person they can contact. I mean, I know sometimes there are people within the agency, but if they're a member, they also have you to contact and maybe kind of figure out some solutions.
Absolutely. And it is NTEU in those agencies who is negotiating with the agency over what AWS schedules employees will be able to have, how leave, you know, can be used, what kind of collective bargaining rates they do have, whether they can work FlexiPlace or telework. And so first and foremost, we negotiate the criteria for how those things can be used by employees, and then we are there on the ground to help enforce those rights and to work with the agencies to make sure that the language that we bargained is implemented as it was intended by the parties.
Okay. Let's get into some of the key issues and this federal career internship program. And, you know, let me play devil's advocate, Kylene, because I talked to some people who have had trouble getting hired before it, and they ended up getting in through the federal career internship program and, you know, the expedited hiring scenario and everything else. I mean, for some people who have had success to get in through these programs, they see it as a great benefit or something that the government can use as an alternate hiring method. I mean, what's NTU stand? You know, why are you guys fighting against it?
You know, I understand why those who have been hired under it see it as a valuable tool. And if I were them, I would see it the same way. It's the avenue to be considered for and then hired for a government position much more expeditiously, surely, than some of the traditional positions. And that's part of the problem, is that NTEU stands with everyone who says we need a streamlined process that is more effective and efficient for the applicants as well as for the agencies. But we then, the rest of our sentence says we want it to be a system that is competitive, that adheres to merit principles as is required by the statute, that does not promote favoritism or does not block applicants out. For as many applicants as are hired under this program, part of the problem with it is the narrow postings, both time-wise and location-wise, that have to be followed under this program. So if I could just take a step back and, you know, as to NTEU's, formal opposition to this FCIP.
Sure.
Is when FCIP was first proposed, it was proposed and implemented, supposedly, on an interim basis back in 2000. And it was presented that it would be a very structured authority, a special hiring authority, to provide two-year internships. Well, that is not what it has become. It has now become, as you accurately described, kind of like the hiring method of choice for agencies. And again, I understand some of the reason is because of the speed, that they see it as a much more, much quicker process. And again, NTU supports that with the that the hiring process needs to be streamlined so it is quicker for applicants as well as for agencies. But this FCIP is not the answer to it. Agencies have misused this FCIP, and it has really morphed into their primary means of hiring new employees.
So what you're saying, and when you kind of talk about this misuse, you're really kind of saying that now, and we can get into the merit systems, what you're saying is that, you know, these agencies now have really gone through a process, and they may see this person or may know someone and say, you know what, don't worry about, you're not going to have to compete against anybody else, either internally in this agency or anybody externally. I've got my person, and I'm just going to bring them in. And that's what you guys are really worried about, kind of a scenario of no objectivity in terms of the hiring process.
That absolutely is one of the things that can happen and that we believe does happen. But as importantly, on this issue of posting and how wide the access is to the jobs, it really is unfair to job seekers because it makes it difficult, if not impossible, for applicants to even find out about desirable job openings in federal agencies. And when this FCIP was first put in place, as I said, as a as an interim process for two-year internships, there were very few employees hired under it, which is as it should be. It was supposed to be an intern program. But according to OPM, Last year in 2009, there were over 26,000 new hires brought into the federal government using the FCIP. And they are all frontline employees for key positions within agencies. I can tell you there are three agencies specifically that are using this to fill all of their technical entry-level positions, the IRS, Customs and Border Protection, which is part of Homeland Security, and the FDIC. They are using this FCIP as if they are hiring interns into these key technical jobs in the agency. At Customs and Border Protection, there are over 18,000 frontline employees who are called Customs and Border Protection officers. It is the core of the employees who deliver on that mission every day at every port of entry in our country. And every one of them is being hired under the FCIP.
We're talking about the Federal Career Internship Program and NTUs, the National Treasury Employees Union, their opposition to it and the reasons for it. We're talking to Colleen Kelly. She's the president of NTEU, and we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
There's a new show in town for the connected, curious, and innovative. Chris Dorabeck hosts the brand new Dorabeck Insider, weekdays from 3 to 7 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Only Chris has the energy and the Rolodex to bring you inside the decision-making that changes your workday. He challenges conventional wisdom by asking his high-profile guests about what worked and what didn't. The Dorabeck Insider is information sharing on the radio in the government 2.0 world. The Dorabeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been having a really interesting conversation about the Federal Career Internship Program. And also, we're going to get into some hiring reform as well a little bit later on the show. But we've been talking to Colleen Kelly. She's the president of the National Treasury Employees Union. And they have some opposition against the Federal Career Internship Program in terms of their concern about it being misused by some agencies to hire entry-level employees. Colleen, when we were on the getting ready to go to the break, you were talking about three agencies who are using the FCIP program, the Federal Career Internship Program, as their primary tool now to bring in technical people. Not even what it sounded like what you were saying to me was that these aren't even necessarily just entry-level people. These are more kind of technical specialists, people who, you know, have certain kind of qualifications to come on to these agencies, and that, you know, there's an expedited hiring process, but you're concerned that with this expedited hiring process, they're not necessarily hiring people fairly.
Well, that's right. And the employees they are hiring are skilled, mm-hmm. and they are talented, and they definitely contribute to the government in the positions that they are hired into. This is not about those selectees. This is about the process.
Okay.
And that is due to all applicants.
Between a merit systems process and between an FCIP process, what is the difference?
Well, there are a couple of issues around that. First, under the concept of a merit based hiring system, vacancies are supposed to be publicly posted and made available to the widest range of potential applicants possible. Under the FCIP, there are no minimum standards at all for their posting. In fact, they could literally post a vacancy in an agency for one day in one location and then declare it closed and make their selection, which is totally violating kind of the concept of the availability of the information to potential applicants. In addition to that, one of the premises of the hiring system to date by statute has been a recognition of and honoring of veterans' preference. And the FCIP program sidesteps that issue. There is no requirement that the FCIP hiring process not only looks at but applies veterans' preference as it is under the statutes today. OPM has even put forward their own information showing that that only about 10% of the hires under FCIP were eligible veterans, which is far below the overall representation in the federal workforce of about 25%. But I can give you a more specific example of that. Very recently, just a couple of months ago, at the Environmental Protection Agency, their Inspector General issued a report that found that one of its regional offices had actually engaged in what's called a prohibited personnel practice. But basically what they did was they gave several candidates for vacancies that were being filled under this FCIP program. They paid their way to a job fair for four applicants. They didn't pay everybody's way to the job fair. They paid the way for applicants, giving them improper advantages during that hiring process. And in addition, they were doing it to ignore veterans' preference. And there's documentation that says that. It says in the email, the EPA wrote in its email that they used the FCIP because they did not, quote, want to risk losing the candidates we want to hire who may get blocked by veterans via USA Jobs if we keep following the current hiring path.
And Kelly, let me talk about this. I mean, I'm a veteran myself, and I believe very much so in veterans' preference. But I hear from a lot of people who get frustrated about this. About I keep on making 100, but I'm keeping on getting blocked by veterans. And I hear hiring managers who also have said to me sometimes that we've got this a listing, but the veterans have to get I may want somebody else, but since the veterans get the certain preferences, 5, 10, or how many ever points, that I've got to hire that person, and they're a little bit frustrated as well. I mean, where do we kind of, draw the line out? And I believe that veterans definitely should have preference because of their service and sacrifice. But for those hiring managers who may want to say, listen, I like the veteran, but I got a better person that I have in mind or something else, how do we handle those kind of situations?
Well, I think the agencies have to step up to that issue if they mm-hmm. really believe that. There is a process in place today that agencies can non-select a veteran on a list and go to the next person who they think is the best qualified or better qualified, but they have to go to OPM and request a waiver. So there's a process for it, but rather than use the process or step up to the fact that maybe they think the process needs changed, which I've never heard them say, they instead have chosen to bypass it. And unfortunately, and I don't think it was originally intended to do this, but unfortunately the FCIP has turned out to be a vehicle, an easy vehicle for them to do just that.
And with all of that, in terms of kind of, so, they don't have the time limit. And, I see positions on USA Jobs. Are some people using FSIP but not calling it FSIP? I mean, where they're using kind of in the backdrop, where I've seen positions that have only been up maybe one day or 6 days or, this very, very short time limit or so. And I have seen positions on USA Jobs and other places that said that veterans' preference won't be used to qualify people. I mean, so are there certain things that are being used without calling it FSIP?
Well, most of the agencies seem to be pretty willing to say they're hiring under FCIP.
Okay.
They seem to be pointing to that because it has been allowed, and therefore they don't have to try to do anything else. And this has impacted more than just kind of the general issue of veterans' preference and of recognizing and honoring it under the law as it exists. I mean, there have been veterans who have specifically been harmed by not knowing about vacancies. They have filed claims. NTU has participated in their cases. One was brought by a disabled veteran who alleges that SSA used the FCIP to obstruct his
SSA
opportunity.
SSA meaning Social Security Administration.
Exactly. And he says that they used it to block his ability to compete for jobs because they advertised it only on one state university website that was accessible only to students and alumni from that university. So since he was not an alumni of that university, he didn't even know the vacancy existed, which is a perfect example of this limiting factor of postings that they really have come to, I would say, not only use, but really to kind of abuse under the FCIP program.
And your concern is that, these postings are being put out to a select few of the people who they say that we want these people, rather than necessarily putting all postings on USA Jobs or things like that. Is that your concern?
Yes. It's rather than, requiring the wide posting that would allow all applicants to know. FCIP is a hiring authority that allows agencies to hire without appropriate internal or external notice, because this also does affect promotion opportunities for the current workforce. It circumvents the competitive examination process that allows federal employees to apply for other positions. We see agencies going out to hire under this FCIP program without posting the vacancies inside, sometimes in violation of their own collective bargaining agreements, but they think they can just do this because it's FCIP. They, like I said, it's really morphed into much more than it was ever intended. I think the numbers that the agencies are using to hire these employees speak for themselves, and it needs to be rescinded. Agencies need to be told that they cannot use this program. It was intended for interns, and none of them are using it for true internships. They could not even begin to make a case that these are intern positions.
And it doesn't
pass the laugh test.
And FSIP, you know, when it originally was really supposed to be like a 2-year probationary, or bring in a career person, give them a full time salary, 2-year probationary type scenario. Then you may get a full time status as a federal employee if it works out, right?
Yes. In fact, under FCIP, they can agencies can impose a 2-year or a 3-year probationary period instead of the standard 1-year probationary period that exists.
So that's another part of, under the merit systems. Merit systems is a 1-year probation, where FSIP now you don't necessarily get full status, and it's almost like a term scenario.
It is. It can be used like that.
Okay.
And the other thing that they're doing is they're using the FCIP to make different hiring offers to employees who are in similar situations,
in terms of salaries and benefits.
Yeah, they're not consistently applying and offering salaries to employees in the same manner that they would do under the traditional merit systems. And in that case, one of the things that I know that FCIP hires are concerned about is if they were given some commitments as part of their FCIP hire that are different than what might have been traditional, whatever that means in that agency, these new hires are concerned that if FCIP goes away, so will their commitments that they receive from these agencies. And I want to make clear that NTEU stands with these employees, that we would do everything to ensure that agencies have to stand by the commitments that they made. Even if FCIP is canceled effective tomorrow, which I would like to see happen, anyone who was hired under FCIP has a commitment from these agencies of what their terms of employment will be, and we would do everything to make sure that they were enforced.
Talking about the Federal Career Internship Program, we'll also be talking about hiring forms very soon, and we're talking to Colleen Kelly. She's the president of the National Treasury Employees Union, NTEU. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Looking for usable news and information that helps you do your job? Tune into In-Depth with Francis Rose every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Francis explores the relationship between agencies and Congress by taking you to the hearing rooms on Capitol Hill and asking questions of federal decision makers and experts. You'll get a firsthand look at how Congress affects your agency's personnel, funding, and oversight. In-Depth also looks at the relationship between agencies and contractors, companies that do billions of dollars of business with the federal government, talk about the work they're doing for agencies, the work they're bidding on, and the work they didn't get. And In-Depth will help you be a better manager. Francis talks to authors, scholars, and managerial experts about managing projects, managing your workforce, and managing yourself. In-Depth with Francis Rose, every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we're talking about the Federal Career Internship Program. The Federal Career Internship Program was a program put in place a few years ago to help agencies hire people on a kind of a 2-year basis, almost like a career internship track program, and then be on a probationary status and then possibly get full-time employment after that. The NTEU, the National Treasury Employees Union, has said that it's morphed into something else, and we're talking to Colleen Kelly. She's the president of NTEU, and they're saying, hey, listen, we need to possibly change these things. They're not meeting the merit systems test. Colleen, we've been talking about this. If you could change it all right now, I know you want this to end. And some people see it as, you know, you mentioned some numbers that some agencies are bringing in a lot of different people under this. Some agencies say, listen, this is needed. We can't go back to, you know, holding back the process of bringing in critical workers in the federal process. You know, where's the balance that we draw on this?
Well, I think that's an important question, Derek, and there does need to be a balance. This intern program, the FCIP, was first set up for real internships, and NTEU supports real internships in the federal government. We think that targeting internships or scholarships to recruit employees who have special fields of expertise that are in demand in the government should be used. For example, students or recent graduates who have a fluency in critical languages or maybe have expertise in sciences or in fields where there's a shortage of qualified candidates for government positions, we can see where real internship programs should be created and would help agencies and the federal government, and NTU would support those. But that is not what this FCIP is. FCIP, as I said, has been turned into the primary method of hiring for agencies, and while the OPM is working on a hiring reform package, and there's been a lot of talk about that lately, and of course NTU has weighed in on that, and I will be glad to talk about that. What we know that is that part of this was a statement by the president that there is now a task, OPM, I guess, was tasked with a wide range of implementing actions, but one of those is within 90 days, they are to provide a recommendation to the president on the future of the FCIP. And NTEU believes that as long as the FCIP exists, agencies are going to take the easy path. That's the route they're going to use, rather than taking a step back to do what they should do on the real issues of hiring reform.
Now, with all of that, I mean, in terms of, you know, looking at this and you're saying, hey, listen, keep these programs and would you want to, you know, remove the FCIP program necessarily for bringing in these kind of professionals and send back any kind of professional positions back to the merit systems process? And then internship programs, as they've been stated, will go to, you know, students, students either come out of high school or undergraduate or college or graduate school or a PhD program, have them come in under an internship program. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Okay. NTU would support real internship programs, but not the FCIP. And we are reviewing the OPM initiatives on the hiring reform to determine what the overall impact will be on merit-based hiring. And while NTU supports competition, we support merit principles, we support veterans' preference, we do share the frustration of so many who argue, as I said before, you know, that this takes too long to get a federal job. Now, to its credit, OPM has already taken some steps to make hiring easier, and NTU supports those steps. We support any prompt and efficient hiring practices, but we want to make sure that the merit and merit principles remain the linchpin of the hiring process. So we are going to continue to monitor the changes that are advanced in this White House memo, particularly on what they're calling category hiring, which is another way federal agencies can hire employees, and the creation of new assessment tools, which OPM is looking at, to make sure that these don't also morph into something they're not supposed to be. I know this is a difficult issue, and I know it's a very important issue, but there is a way for agencies to do this that does not abuse what the FCIP was intended to do.
What are you hearing on Capitol Hill, and what are you hearing from, I mean, I'm assuming a lot of your constituents are definitely on board with this, I mean, but what are you hearing from others about this, whether it be on the Hill, whether it be this administration? I know the administration is saying we want to review this and everything else. I mean, are people kind of saying, hey, listen, we understand what you're saying? Are people on board, or are you getting a lot of pushback?
Well, I think in general, there are many of us who agree that some changes need to be made. And then the question is, which of those do we agree on and which of those do we not agree on? And then where do we go from there? I think that, and I'm hoping that there are enough things we can agree on that we can have a real impact on this hiring process for applicants as well as agencies, but that will put agencies back into the business of using merit-principled processes, and to totally eliminate this FCIP. I mean, you know, let me be very clear. In NTU's view, we are doing everything we can to have FCIP eliminated as a method of hiring for agencies and based on the way they are using it today. Like I said, I don't even think the FCIP, from a credibility standpoint, should be the one that's used for interns, but I'm willing to talk about that. OPM already has other internship programs in place that when implemented as intended, and as far as I know, they are being implemented as intended, NTU would support those. We just want a changes to the how the agencies hire, and the first and foremost, the only way that's going to happen, the only way agencies are going to step up to this is if FCIP is eliminated off of their menu of things to use for entry-level positions. Otherwise, they're never going to focus on how they should do this better.
All right. Is there, in terms of this evaluation, do we know if this will happen possibly this year, or do we know if this will, I mean, I know this is under, they say that's under evaluation.
They have 90 days, and I would expect that that timeline will be adhered to, and I can tell you NTU will be doing all we can to make sure that it is responded to. In addition to the work we are doing with the administration in an effort to have this eliminated, of course, we have a lawsuit that is moving forward that was filed a couple of years ago because this has been such an ongoing problem.
With that being the case, let's move into the hiring reforms. You know, just past May, we had the big announcement that the president signed off on the executive order, and we also hear about legislation that's moving forward right now. I think it passed the House and maybe going to the Senate that's, you know, talking about making the hiring process in the federal government a much simpler process. What's NTEU's standpoint on the new hiring reforms? Is there anything that you like about it? Is there anything you disagree about it?
Oh, sure. I think the elimination of lengthy KSAs, you know, the essays that had to be written by applicants will help to streamline the process. I think OPM support for initial screening processes, you know, to try to streamline those for agencies. And they keep talking about trying to make it the process more similar to that used in the private sector for hiring. I think those are all pluses. I think that will help with timelines, and it will help really also from an ease of application for those who are applying for jobs in the federal government. So NTU, we support those, and we have worked with the OPM and the administration, will continue to do so. But again, all of those things added up will not solve the problem if they continue to use the FCIP.
So with this being the case, I mean, your main concern is, and let people kind of get this straight, your main concern is really just a fairness, and you just kind of really feel like the FCIP program is really an unfair process with the merit systems process where it says, well, listen, you got to put things publicly, you have to have veterans preference. Those are the things that under the merit systems and that you feel have been working and are the most fair process to hire federal employees.
Yes, I would agree with all of those things, Derek. And like I said, I know I'm repeating myself, but on this subject where the conversation always begins and ends for me is the FCIP program needs to be eliminated so that agencies use merit-based systems that provide opportunities for applications to the widest audience possible.
And with all of that, in terms of merit systems, can people, for them to understand that, I mean, you know, and I think sometimes people don't understand what merit systems is about. What information can you give people to help them understand why the merit systems is better than the FCIP program? Because, I mean, I think people hear these words and they hear these two different concepts. But, you know, should they go to the Merit Systems Protection Board? I mean, should people kind of get an understanding of what these two things represent?
Well, I think at its core, when most people think about a merit-based system, you think of a system that's transparent, that is accessible to all, that does not allow favoritism, much less support it, that does not, you know, narrow the scope of applications or those who are even know about a vacancy to apply, and then that there is a known process in place that they will be given full and fair consideration. And those things cannot, you know, that list cannot be used to describe FCIP.
We've been talking about the Federal Career Internship Program, and we've been talking about the National Treasury Employees Union stance on it, their concerns about it being unfair, and that they want it to be eliminated so that people can use more of a merit systems process in hiring people. We've been talking to Colleen Kelly. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Federal News Radio. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about the Federal Career Internship Program, and we've been talking about some of the issues that the National Treasury Employees Union has about it. Now, I've been talking to Colleen Kelly. She's the president of NTEU. We've covered a lot of ground on this. And Colleen, I want to kind of give a chance to talk about some other issues, because you guys got some other things on your plate. We mentioned over the break that, you know, hey, you like hiring reform. You hope it. What I'm hearing is that you guys will be monitoring the hiring reform and kind of seeing that it goes forward. You like the ideas about it. You know, right now it's kind of a wait and see process.
It is, and the biggest wait and see for us is to see the FCIP program canceled at the end of this 90-day review period.
What other issues that does NTEU have, you know, on you guys' agenda?
Well, there's always a long list of things that affect federal employees. I guess I would identify two that we are focused on. One is implementation of the executive order that was signed by the president that mandates collaborative efforts between agencies and the unions. This is what the old, in the old days, I guess 10 years ago, was called partnership. But this executive order was signed by the president in December, and we are starting to get the national council as well as each of the department councils up and running. And why that is important to employees is that when unions and agencies work together, the chances of tapping into the really good ideas that frontline employees have increase dramatically. NTEU believes that the frontline employees have a lot of really good ideas about how to do the work of the agencies better and smarter and more efficiently. And as a rule, there is not a good job done of tapping into that. So when management and the unions work together, we can figure out how to make that happen and to get that voices, those voices of frontline employees into the conversation about work processes. Everyone's always talking about streamlining government operations, whether it's talking about cutting agency budgets or whatever the, you know, wherever the conversation goes, it's about how to do the work smarter and better. And so NTU's work on this executive order and breathing life into this is something that will not only touch frontline employees, but really give them an opportunity to have a voice that they haven't had for many, many years.
Do you feel and do you hear, because you hear with the frontline employees, do you feel that many agencies are embracing this in terms of making them more collaborative, are embracing ideas? I know some agencies have been very much so forward with this process of like having an idea bank or you know, encouraging or even giving financial rewards for people who bring in creative ideas. Is this being encouraged?
Actually, I think more and more agencies are. All of the heads of the agencies and the departments, of course, today who have been appointed by this administration are, you know, believers in working with the unions and with the frontline employees. And it's just taking us a little time to kind of breathe life into that, you know, to turn the corner on where we've been for the last 9 years. But absolutely, I see a lot of support for this from the top, from the White House, from OPM, from OMB, and into the, you know, secretaries of the departments. I mean, there has been very, very real involvement and real support for this and very public support for it. So I am cautiously optimistic that we're going to use this to make a difference and that we're going to see some changes, you know, in the foreseeable future that employees will really benefit from and agencies will benefit from and therefore taxpayers will benefit from.
Do you see with this process, and I don't know how much has gotten out to the actual frontline workers, but do you see the morale increasing because of these kind of collaborative efforts?
I do, Derek. I think, in fact, it may not be that employees say that morale improves because of collaborative efforts, but morale will improve because they will see their ideas being acted on. They will see, you know, their contributions being valued and recognized in the agencies, and that, of course, would make for a better work environment in any organization or any company. And morale, now that you've touched on morale, the other issue I would identify that NTU has been working on tirelessly is the issue of securing collective bargaining rights for employees at the Transportation Security Administration. As you know, TSA employees do not have the right today to collectively bargain and to have an exclusive representative, a union, who represents them as their legal representative. And that is unfortunate, and it has caused a lot of morale issues in TSA since it stood up, since it was first created as an agency. You know, the goal was that TSA would be a world-class transportation security agency, and that has not happened. And in large part, it's because these frontline employees have been denied basic rights that they should have had from day one. So I am hoping that in the foreseeable future that collective bargaining will be granted to these employees, and then they will have the opportunity to vote, and that they will elect NTEU as their representative.
And, you know, as we know, there has not been an official head of that agency put in place yet. Do you feel like this has kind of hindered this process of, you know, of you getting these collective bargaining rights?
I think it has, definitely. There is a nominee now with confirmation hearing scheduled. The first one occurs tomorrow. And I do think that has had an impact. The president has made very clear that he supports collective bargaining rights for these employees, and the secretary has made clear that she does not see collective bargaining rights in conflict with the mission of that agency. So when you line up those, you know, very strong and clearly stated positions from the president as well as the secretary, I fully expect that once there is an administrator confirmed and in place, that we will move forward on this issue that really impacts so much about the employees and their workforce.
That's going to be a bigger issue, and we're going to definitely reach back to you and talk a little bit more about that as time progresses, and maybe after the new head of that FTSA is put in place, and we can kind of see a little bit further down the road. I definitely want to have a longer conversation about what the history has been about this, and then hopefully what we can see about the foreseeable future of these TSA employees. And we're talking about basically transportation security officers, these frontline employees on the screening who are doing the screening and everything else, they're the ones who don't have these collective bargaining rights. Is that right?
That's right. That is correct. And I would welcome that opportunity, Derek, to have a longer conversation.
Colleen, thank you so much for being on Fed Access. It's been an interesting conversation. We will definitely be talking further in the future. Anything else you want to say about NTEU before you go?
We are proud to represent federal employees, and we are proud of the work that federal employees do every day for our country.
Outstanding. Thanks so much for listening to Fed Access. We'll be back next week.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED. Your source for federal news now.